Ramping up your business? The time is near. You've given it heart, now get it in gear. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
I'm Richard Gearhart, founder of Gearhart Law, a full-service intellectual property law firm specializing in patents, trademarks, and copyrights.
And I'm Elizabeth Gearhart, not an attorney, but I do marketing for Gearhart Law, and I have my own startups and podcasts.
Are you one of the 2 in 5 Americans wanting to start your own business or already a business owner? Stay tuned. This show is about starting and growing your business. Welcome to Passage to Profit, the road to entrepreneurship, where we learn why and how ordinary people just like you started and grew their businesses, and we also talk about the intellectual property that helps protect your innovations. So now it's time to talk with our very distinguished guest, Doug Zarkin, award-winning marketing expert, and he's been named by Brandweek Marketer of the Next Generation, and he's a consecutive honoree in Crain's New York Notables in marketing. And Doug has catapulted iconic brands like Avon and Victoria's Secret to new heights. And he's also an author, Moving Your Brand Out of the Friend Zone, which is about breaking free from the friend zone that hinders success. So welcome to the show, Doug. Such a pleasure to have you here. What do you mean when you talk about moving your brand out of the friend zone?
For all of us, whether you're single or married, I imagine at some point in your life, you have had feelings for somebody that weren't necessarily matched with the degree of intensity, no matter how handsome you may or may not be, or how beautiful you may or may not be. We all find ourselves at one point or another believing that perhaps somebody cares about us, likes us a little bit more than we like them. And the same thing is really true in business. Brands don't miss forecast because you have stupid people at the top. What you have is a misunderstanding as to the role and the relationship that you have with your consumer base. And the premise of moving your brand out of the friend zone is really about strengthening that brand value equation. How do you create passion and trust so that regardless of what's happening in the marketplace in your respective category, consumers are going to remain loyal to you? They're not only going to remain loyal, but they're going to advocate for you. Because no matter how smart or how technologically advanced you are, or your brand is, today, tomorrow, and forever, the most powerful marketing tool in a marketer's toolbox is word of mouth. And that comes from building advocates. And so the book really gets into understanding the brand value equation, understanding how to look at your brand and figure out where within the different relationship areas you fall. And then most importantly, some things to think about. Because as I mentioned, there is no right way or wrong way to build a brand. There's just a way. And the goal of the book is really to provide a set of things to consider as you're building a brand and trying to figure out how to move your brand into that incredibly intense place of brand love.
Well, Doug, I have a question for you. So I'm approaching this as a consumer. I loved Zappos shoes, which were bought by Amazon. Because I would get the shoes the next day. I had a year to return them. It was really easy to do returns. But Amazon is changing all of that, not only for Zappos, but for Amazon itself. And I am falling out of love. So what do brands do to keep the love and still make money?
Brand love is really tied to the brand value equation. And I would call it Doug Zarkin's version of Einstein's theory of relativity or the Pythagorean theorem. And it's a very simple formula. Value, which everybody wants, whether you're making $50,000, $500,000, or $5 million a year, is really driven by the experience as your numerator divided by the price, which is your denominator. And the greater the experience, the more you can charge a premium price and still have a positive value equation. And the result of that very simple formula, and I say that tongue in cheek because it's anything but simple, gives you an idea of what you need to do. Brands first have to understand where they fall in their brand value equation. A brand like Amazon, and I think Amazon is a brand, has done an amazing job in delivering an incredible experience. The price that you pay for Amazon is continuing to evolve. They made a recent change to Prime Video. You now have to pay extra to get Prime videos without advertising. Your Prime membership, which everybody thinks is free shipping. It's not free shipping. Okay, they build the pricing into the model. Those all get into the denominator. But as long as your customer experience and your shopping experience is amazing, you don't really care that they're charging you an extra $5 for Prime Video.
Kenya.
So you mentioned word of mouth, which is a great point. But my only concern about word of mouth is it's not controllable, right? So how do you advise the brands that you work with and what they can do tactically to make sure that their reputation stays in the right space with consumers?
I like to say, and I talk about this in the book, perception may not be reality, but it's actuality. And brands have to take control of their brand narrative. And that's becoming increasingly hard in the feedback culture that we live in. Not all feedback is good, and that's okay. But brands have to insert themselves in the dialogue. The most powerful thing you can do with somebody who leaves a negative review is turn an adversary into an advocate. And the way you do that is not by admitting fault, because look, the consumer isn't always right, but they're always important. So if you show empathy, take the conversation offline to find a solution if there is one. And then when that solution is found, challenge the consumer to share that experience, you can start to reshape the discourse. The challenge that I see, and it's such a great question, is when brands ignore the negative and focus only on the positive. And the opportunity lost there is to defend your reputation. Reputation management, social commerce is a real thing. And marketers and leaders, regardless of where you sit in the C-suite, have to be paying attention to what your star score is on Google and what people are saying about you in order to ensure that you can bust fake news and put the truth out there in whatever form you feel is the best form.
That is 100% so true, because we really focused on getting more reviews for Gearheart Law, and people reference those reviews when they call us up as leads. But one question I had for you, you're kind of going opposite the whole AI revolution, because your book says unlock the power of thinking human, authentic connections.
Thinking human really comes down to a very simple concept. If you treated every customer that walked into your store or that visited your website as if they were your only customer, how would you behave? Small businesses win. Big businesses lose because they stopped understanding that it was that single customer who helped to build their business. Thinking human is really about getting back to basics.
I love that, because that's so true. Our clients are loyal because they have relationships with everybody in the firm. You know, you learn about their family lives, you learn about all sorts of stuff, you learn about what's going on in the business, not just the intellectual property. I think that's a great insight. And even in today's world where we are so digitized, I think that is the most important thing, because you really can't get that kind of connection from a text or from an email unless you already know the person. Can you?
Yeah, I'm just curious, because I'm reading through your bio. I see all these wonderful accolades. Like, how did you get into this marketing space initially?
My dad still has no idea what I do for a living. So, you know, the celebration of your accomplishments come from recognizing that those accomplishments aren't possible without a superpower about how to build a high-performing team. Most of those awards sit in a box in my basement, not because I'm not proud of them, but because I don't want to ever let it get to my head about how I got there. I've been very blessed to work for some terrible leaders, because they have helped shape the kind of person that I'd like to be. And I'm not perfect, far from it. I have good days, I have terrible days. But the one thing that I learned from working for some not great people in the course of my career is what a great leader could and should be. And for me, it kind of goes to the philosophy about how I build a high-performing team. And it comes down to three very simple things. And I talk about this in the book. I hire for passion. I can teach you the skill, I can't give you the will. I require purpose, which is whether you're working virtually or in an office, I want you to go about your day with a sense of trying to get stuff done. How you conduct yourself, how you lead yourself, how you reflect yourself as a reflection of me. So I want somebody who has that intent in mind. And then most critically, it's about celebrating progress. Perfection is unattainable. Anybody who tells you they have the perfect marketing plan, the perfect brand, the perfect advertising is full of it. If you set a sales goal of 5% and you achieve 2%, the inclination is to talk about the fact that you missed goal by 3 percentage points. Where I like to start is, let's celebrate the fact that we increased by 2%. All right, now let's figure out where the delta is. What could we have done better? And I think that philosophy is inspiring. It also allows me the permission to give real-time feedback.
Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart, back with more discussion with Doug Zarkin, award-winning marketing expert, right after this.
I represent low-cost airlines, and we know a lot of you are not traveling right now, and we understand. However, if you do need to travel between now and the end of the year, now is a great time to lock in some of the lowest prices we've seen in a lifetime. Hey, in normal times, we can save you up to 75%, but now airlines are practically giving away seats. We have inside deals on over 500 airlines. Here are a few sample round trip deals we found. Seattle to Vegas, $35. Chicago to Atlanta, $85. Los Angeles to Atlanta, $100. Of course, there are some limitations, but the airlines want your business right now. And cancellation and change fees are flexible. So fly somewhere this year, book now, save a ton, call right now.
858-988-7477. 858-988-7477. 858-988-7477. That's 858-988-7477.
Have you ever met a single person in your life that enjoys paying taxes? No, no one does. If you can't sleep at night because you have a huge problem with the IRS, I've got some free advice for you. This service is strictly limited to individuals that owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes. And if you qualify, we can guarantee that you won't be writing a big fat check to the IRS, or our services cost you nothing. The first 100 people that call today will get a free tax consultation worth $500. Stop worrying about your IRS problem. We can help you, we promise. Call the tax doctor right now. I mean right now to learn more.
800-917-8546. 800-917-8546. 800-917-8546. That's 800-917-8546.
Now back to Passage to Profit. Once again, Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
And our special guest, Doug Zarkin, who is a marketing expert. We've been talking with Doug. If you missed the first part of our conversation, you can catch it on our podcast tomorrow, wherever you get your podcast. But Doug, we were going to talk this time about, where do brands go awry?
Being a marketer, you instinctually have to have a degree of arrogance, because marketing at its core, you strip out all the textbooks, marketing at its core is about motivating the consumer to do what we want them to do when we want them to do it. You have to have a bravado about yourself to believe that you can do that. With that, though, is where marketers go awry and brands go awry, which is understanding that there is a natural path to humility that comes with that objective. Brands go awry when they believe that they're untouchable. Brands go awry when they're focusing so much on not losing that they're not focusing on winning. One of the things I talk about in the book is this notion of the challenger brand mindset. Think about a race. If you're in first place and you're running a distance race, what are you doing? You're always looking at your over your shoulder to see where the person behind you is. If you're in second place, what are you doing? You're always looking at the person in front of you and trying to figure out how to close the gap. What is the person in third place doing? The person in third place is trying to figure out how to win. It's not about what's going on in first place and second place. It's about, how am I going to win this race? And it's that challenger mindset that brands need to have in order to not go awry. The challenger mindset is about embracing the fact that there is an opportunity, a niche. A niche is not a bad thing. A niche is an opportunity to win. And so what happens to the runner in third place? They're thinking four steps ahead of the runner in first place. And that's why inevitably challenger brands always win, because they're not afraid to lose. Brands that go awry are afraid to lose.
Just a quick question for you. So how do you help brands like find their niche or develop their niche if they're not really sure how to position themselves in the marketplace?
It starts from a human truth. If you look at marketing, marketing is really about positioning, which is about the art of sacrifice. That art of sacrifice is the mixture of what the human truth is. What's the void that you're trying? What's the need state, the intellectual need state that is missing, or the emotional need state, most critically? Because consumers make emotional decisions before they make rational choices. If you don't connect with somebody emotionally, unless you have a product that's going to cure cancer or solve the world's economic crisis or transport you without having to take a red-eye flight, you're focusing too much on the rational. You're not connecting with somebody on the emotion. And the emotion is the power. The emotion is the path. Where brands need to start is understanding what is the need state, emotional first, that they're solving. Then rationally, what's the solution? And then the fun part, which is the figuring out how to put your brand on the brain of that consumer.
So what are some of the tools that an entrepreneur could use to kind of harness the philosophy that you just discussed?
I would say be guided by the notion that the solution to complexity often is in the simplicity. You don't need to be fielding massive research studies, okay? Talk to people in your community. Talk to people in the target audience, friends and family. Invite them over to dinner. Show them your idea. Get feedback. It's important to think small in order to win big. You don't need to put yourself into a position of tremendous risk in order to identify great opportunity. Be humble enough to start small. Test kitchens, if it's a food product, giving things out to friends and family and getting a reaction. Then go a little bit larger, doing things like street fairs, community opportunities to see if you can get a better sample size. Always soliciting feedback along the way. Because when you decide to go for broke and you go big, the more money on the line, the greater the pressure, the greater the need to really win. Mm-hmm. Allow yourself the certainty to refine your model when your out-of-pocket cost is low so that you can exploit the opportunity when the opportunity is big to win big.
There's always going to be a certain amount of experimentation and a little bit of flexibility too. And as you try to grow your business, it may be that you have to tweak your message a little bit to reach different consumers, although it's a perfectly viable strategy to simply try to reach more of the people that you've successfully reached, right? So if you're an entrepreneur, you're trying to decide, should I try to expand my client base by focusing on different needs, or should I just try to attract more clients or customers who are satisfied with our service the way it is now? How do you make that kind of decision?
So at the intersection of dumb and stupid are fast food chains that live in the world of, let's say, hamburgers that all of a sudden decide they want to sell pizza, or places that sell pizza that all of a sudden want to sell fried chicken.
Or
it's ridiculous.
How about this one, Doug? The ones that want to do peak period pricing.
I think, you know, the folks at Wendy's had the idea correct, but the way it was communicated was incorrect, which is peak period pricing could be about how to offer savings to consumers that want to buy breakfast at 11 o'clock at night, or, you know, at 4 p.m., getting rid of the fresh cookies and breads by reducing the discount. It's not about raising prices between
It's about dropping them. I couldn't agree more.
It's about dropping them. So I think they didn't think that through. But kind of going back to the point of, you have to resist the urge to try to be everything to everybody. Brand positioning is all about that sacrifice. I mean, think about this. We've all been to a buffet before. Have you guys all been to a Las Vegas buffet?
Yeah.
Right? Nobody physically feels good after eating at a buffet. And the reason is because the human body is not designed to consume seafood, Italian food, ice cream, pie, and a charcuterie board all at the same time. It's the same thing with brands. When you try to do everything, brands get indigestion and consumers get sick from it. So the idea of really focusing narrow and deep is a pathway to win. It's like when your favorite music group releases an album that doesn't have their sound. It's the same thing in brands. You got to be really careful when you stray away from your comfort zone of what consumers expect from you.
You're taking a big risk, absolutely. Doug Zarkin, award-winning marketing expert. Fantastic. I hope you'll stick around for the rest of the show.
How do people find Doug?
Great question.
You can go to DougZarkin.com and go to my website. You can find me at Doug Zarkin on LinkedIn. Most importantly, you can find the book, Moving Your Brand Out of the Friend Zone, on Amazon and Kindle.
Well, that sounds good. Passage to Profit is a nationally syndicated radio show appearing in 31 markets across the United States. Thank you to the P2P team, our producer Noah Fleischman, and our program director Alicia Morrissey. Look for our podcast tomorrow anywhere you get your podcasts. Our podcast is ranked in the top 3% globally. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, and on our YouTube channel. And remember, while the information on this program is believed to be correct, never take a legal step without checking with your legal professional first. Gearhart Law is here for your patent, trademark, and copyright needs. You can find us at gearhartlaw.com and contact us for a free consultation. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.